Welcome, citizens. I'm your host, Allie Grauer, and this is Warda. Warda is a production of Whimsy and Artifice. If you haven't already, visit welcometowarda.com to explore on your own. This audio episode of Warda Curiosities is pulled from the weekly live stream we host on the One Shot Podcast Network's Twitch stream. The One Shot Podcast Network is home to many fantastic podcasts and live stream shenanigans, including the One Shot Podcast, Campaign, Adventure, Backstory, and more. We just want to say a quick thank you to everyone who has backed the Dungeon Dome, the Kickstarter run by James D'Amato on the One Shot Podcast Network, through the last month or so. If you've contributed to this already, thank you. Drew and I are both involved in the project, and we're so excited to get started and share everything with you. Sit back and enjoy this episode of Warda Curiosities.
So I'm going to do as I usually do. I'm going to ask you guys a kind of a backstory question as we get to know these people more and more. So let's go with Embalar to begin with. Embalar, I want you to tell me, who taught you how to fight? And do you have a memory of that, of a fight from your past?
The person who taught me how to fight was my father. Because he is the head of the dueling club. Mm-hmm.
The Lantern Way.
The Lantern Way. No.
No, the Flickering Flame.
The Flickering Flame.
The Lantern Way.
That's the other one.
No, the Lantern Way is where they, it's their dojo.
The Flickering Flame. My father's the leader of that. So he taught me how to fight, trained me in combat magic, specifically fire combat magic. And a specific memory that I have the first time I was able to hold my own against him, like, going all out. Because, he had a very strict training regimen when I was younger, and he held back, but he didn't, hold back.
Yeah.
He taught me how to fight, and we were, I was youngish, so like a teenager, so probably maybe, like, 30s, young 20s.
Well, you're a half-gene, so like you're, yeah. It's the same. Growing
Pretty
up
much.
Is about the same. So it's like you're like, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was probably closer to my like mid-20s then. Mm-hmm. And I was able to hold my own against him. I didn't get immediately squashed, is what I'm saying. He still beat me, but like for like a good like minute or two there, I was able like to dispel and work my way around. I actually landed a hit,
ooh,
which was nice. He had never landed a hit before.
Where'd you hit him?
I believe to hit him in the arm. I was able to like throw a fire combat spell, through a fireball that like I bend it. I was able to like warp it around, mm-hmm, through like using like a backdraft.
Oh, cool.
So like it came and then like went back around and then hit him in the side of the arm.
Nice.
And it was a spell that I'd been practicing for a while, and it actually hit him in the arm. And I think after that moment, like he'd always been proud of me, mm-hmm, and like loved me even though I was like a half gene. But
mm-hmm, yeah, you're not his real son.
Exactly. But yeah, no, after that point, he like respected me even more, so we have a really good relationship.
Cool. I don't think he ever got that healed.
He didn't?
Like, he leaves that scorch mark.
Let everyone know.
Yeah. He's like, it's my reminder.
Mm-hmm. Watch that.
Thanks,
Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Tippin.
All right. Tippin learned a fighting style called Giant Killer, which is specific for pixies. It is like using their kind of unnatural strength to take down giants, which is literally everyone around them. Tippin learned this from another pixie named Remy.
Remy, nice.
Coincidentally, he watched Remy die.
Oh.
This was the same pixie.
It's the same pixie. It's like your mentor pixie. It's
basically my mentor pixie was named Remy.
Another free pixie, basically.
Another free pixie, yeah. Basically, that was very much like Tippin, which is why like Tippin's so much like himself. Taught him how to taught him how to sneak, taught him how to fight and get out of situations like that. And then Tippin found one day that Remy was a lot more tired and Rami died.
Oh, goodness.
And then Tippin was given a sense of mortality.
Wow.
Welcome to backstory.
When was one of the first times you used Giant Killer? Like, when did you, like,
use one of the first times he actually used it? I'd say one of the first times in vain was when he got captured by the guy that was going to take his wings off.
Oh, nice.
One of his first successful times was when he won the Lindworm Feather.
Oh, very cool. He fought a Lindworm
with it. So, yeah.
Dig that. How about you, Owen?
Well, when I was... So, I studied at the Traumeyer School of Blades under Amel Traumeyer, who was a close friend of my father's. But I didn't really want to be a fighter, except that all of my brothers are guardsmen, or they work for my dad, who's the head of house, head of security for House Serene. So everybody has been in this, all of my family has been in a career of fighting. But I didn't really want to do that. But I was forced to study anyway, which, you know, it was a good good thing to learn. But so technically, I was taught by Amel Traumeyer. But the memory that I have most vividly is I was 9 years old, and this girl had been bullying me, Dora Bizik. And she was a pretty good fighter, and I could have been a good fighter, but I didn't really have the heart for it. So Amel Traumeyer told my father about how I was struggling in school, and so one day he took me back to school and brought me into, like, the ring where we would spar, and Dora was there, and neither of us were allowed to leave until one person was, like, done.
Oh, wow.
And so we just had to fight. And I was after a while of just doing defensive work, like, I was being egged on, and eventually I won, but it was kind of, like, a scarring moment, because I was forced into fighting.
Wow. How old were you?
Nine.
You're nine?
Yeah.
So wow. It was like a child fight club.
Yeah. Like, well, it was to teach because she was bullying me and I wasn't, like, fighting back, which was a thing that was encouraged. Like, you stand up for yourself. And I was not wanting to do that. So in order to teach me a lesson, my father just brought me and had me fight to the death, essentially. With no dying, of course, but, you know.
But, you know, first to knock out.
Yeah,
So who won?
I did. I won in the end.
You knocked out Dora.
Because I'm scrappy enough where I just, you know, held out the whole time and then got angry and just finished it.
How did you finish it? I'm really curious, like, how you finished it.
I just, she kept calling me names because I'm a half-gene. And so finally, and my dad was egging me on a little bit as well because he wanted me to be stronger. So I just shot, like,
giant Niyati, titan baller.
Yeah. I just shot rapid fire, like, ice bullets over and over again and just, like, pushed her into a corner until she just, like, dropped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, In my brain, that whole scene is that moment where you realize that you're going to lose, but there's nothing you can do about it. And you guys are nine, so I can imagine that Dora's facade kind of dropped.
Yeah, oh yeah,
and
for
she's
sure.
like crying yes. and saying that she's done, yep. but that's not the
that's
game.
Not, yeah.
The game is to knock out, and so you had to physically knock her out, like flinging ice and water at her.
So my father and I have a strained relationship.
Jeez.
Partially for that reason.
So, welcome to Warda. So that's really important for tonight because we got a battle coming up here, as you guys have kind of been fenced in. But before we go there, we're gonna start like we always do. I want you guys to picture yourselves high above the city of Amengrad, and we look down and we see the city of Amengrad as it always is, that horseshoe of a giant wall with tall, tall mountains at the very, very back of it. And in the very center of the middle of this horseshoe is all city. And as you get further out, you get more to rural areas. And we're high above in the air. And we immediately begin to drop, heading down, down, down towards the city. And we are, as we head straight down into the city, we head to Glowood Park, where this whole game is taking place. And the camera comes right up to the window of Rennie's apartment. And through the window, we can see our heroes going over the apartment and looking over things. And the camera flits up to one side of the window and flits over to another side of the window and then goes to another window. And we, through the window, we see them moving around and looking for things and going back and forth. And through the window, eventually the camera flits down to the windowsill and we're looking through the window at Embalar as he reaches over to a potted plant and lifts it up and then takes out a Vox box. And the moment he looks at it and identifies what it is, oh, it's a Vox box, the camera flits away. And we follow the camera as it zooms through the city back and forth. And it's like going underneath through people's legs. It's going like up a drain pipe. It goes over rooftops at this nearly imperceptible speed. Like we're just zooming by like hyperspeed type stuff. Just getting out of the way at the last second, like going around carriages and going like underneath a dire goat, like as it goes underneath. And back and forth. And eventually we get to a seedy part of town and we're headed straight for a wall. And the wall's coming up. And at the last second, the camera turns and goes through a crack in the wall. And we like see like the entire, like we see brick and stone go past us and we enter into a dimly lit room where we've been before. And there sitting at the back in the shadows is again, our mystery player who's got these flickery blue flame eyes. Like they actually flicker. And the camera goes right up to him. And the camera pans around and gets to our mystery person. And he's sitting there and he looks over and goes, "What have you brought me?" And now the pixie that has been watching this entire thing goes, "I saw them, master. I saw them. They have the proof that you're seeking. They have a Vox box." And the mysterious Fae goes, "That's very good. Who has it?" The half-gene, sir. The half-gene Afridi, he has it. "You've done very well. Have you taken this information to anyone else?" "No, master, I haven't." He reaches out and grabs the pixie. And he goes, "Tell me the truth." And the pixie like shows him his chest where we see a big soul brand on it. And he goes, "Master, I can't lie. I can't lie, master. You know I can't." And he goes, "Very well. Very well. You've done a good job. Now I need you to do one last thing for me." He goes, "What is it?" And he squishes him. And he opens his hand to this like bloody, slimy mess. And he like shakes off his hand. And he goes, "The information dies with you." And he like wipes his hands and he stands up and we get our look at this guy for the very first time. And he's an Afridi. And he's light red with those blue eyes and black hair. And the hair is very, very long. And he's got it pulled into like a single braid that's like braided down his back. And the camera follows him, and we see he goes to a small room and he opens the door, and in that room is Fennel, she's sitting there, and the camera's on over his shoulder and looking down at Fennel, and we see Fennel and she's sitting there like chained to the wall, and she looks up and she's got fire in her eyes, like there's no sort of like. There's no beaten down in anything that she's feeling. She goes, "What do you want?" "Looks like our time has come." "Up." She goes, "I'm not going anywhere with you. You can kick me and beat me and do whatever you want. I go nowhere until you give me more answers." He goes, "Very well then." And there's blackout. Okay, guys. We come back up on the alleyway, which I've drawn.
Oh, good.
Oh.
So,
in here.
What's the, there we go. We'll go right there. There's the alleyway. So last time we let, you had thrown off a fireball at at Ezzy, which she had easily deflected. The pell-mells begin to move in. And as they begin to move in, there's about a roll me a notice. Some just, yeah, all of you roll me notices. See what you guys can see.
So excited.
Yeah.
That's a one.
That's a one for me as well.
Okay.
Math, sorry. One.
Okay, one. One.
We're a little...
All you guys get is that there's 8 to 10 of them. Like,
what's happening? We're stressed.
Yeah, you guys are stressed. You guys are like in that ball. Chet's like, what's going on?
Oh, crap.
All my friends, are they coming?
Nope.
Well, hello there.
Nope.
Nope. Stop, Chet.
Oh, yeah, sweet. And as they're moving closer, there's they all begin to whistle. And the clap is as they clack their strikes together.
This is so unnecessarily ominous.
Well, this is almond drop.
Now is not the time.
And they're getting they're like closing in the circle. And as they're closing in the circle, you see that they're not all coming for you. Some of them are like posted at the edges.
Yeah.
Of the.
How many are there?
Like I said, there's 8 to 10.
Oh, okay.
That you can see right now. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So where you guys are at. Actually, I want you guys to place where you guys are in this general vicinity. Where are you?
What do you think?
Put your initial where you are.
Okay, I'm gonna have to just steal this so I can read. Because
I think. Well, by the way, real quick, what are these? Like are these doors?
That's a gate.
That's a gate. Like an iron gate.
Yeah, like an iron gate.
Like, is it climbable?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, right. You can climb it. I mean, anything here is climbable.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. You can climb anything.
Okay. And then the bad guy, the pell-mells are circling or like
circling around
in.
You.
Like
Ezzy
here.
Is over here, so okay. I'm gonna put Ezzy real quick. I'm gonna put Ezzy is right here. Ezzy.
Cool. So I'm behind you. Ow.
Ow.
I don't know why I did that as my initials. OB. I'm like peeking out, like on the side.
And where are you tipping?
Tippin is probably.
Tippin's in here. Where is it, Tippin?
Tippin is in all of us, really.
Yes. Hopefully, we won't have to say that at the end of the session. In memoriam. Tippin would be like in between M and Owen, so I'm putting a tiny T right in between there, and kind of flitting back and forth.
And Chet is.
Oh yeah.
Right
oh.
here.
Yeah.
So the pell-mells, I'm going to say that they're like, there's like one, two, three right there, one, two, three right there, and then there's
so
like one, two, one, two, and those are the ones that you can see right now.
Oh,
so they're like moving up and they're whistling.
So this is a gate?
Yeah, these are gates. Mm. These are high iron gates, and this is a like a courtyard area right around here. These are tall buildings that are about 2 stories high.
That's some fantastic whistling you guys have. I thought I was dealing with a dueling club, not a whistling group.
Stop talking!
Fire spell.
I wanted to roll a notice. I'm flitting back and forth.
Yeah, roll me a notice.
Can I notice and see if they're like paying any attention to me specifically as a pixie?
Sure. Roll me a notice.
Stop being minuses, okay. That is a 2.
A 2? I'm gonna say they don't really care. Like they're looking at you.
Perfect.
They're not really looking at you. They're looking at Chet.
They're looking at Chet.
Yeah.
So this is what I want everyone to do. I dislike Fate's thing where it's like, yeah, your initiative is based on your notice. Screw that.
Thank God.
I want you guys to roll just Chet. One die.
One die.
Nothing.
fine.
Plus.
And minus. Good job.
Okay.
Good, right. job.
Good job.
We hit everything.
Good job, guys. Good job. So that's what it's going to be. It was a plus and minus. Tipping got the plus. Owen got the nothing. And minus was Emily. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to roll for these guys. So one, two, three, and four. And we're going to put... As he left. So what it's going to be is pluses will go first, and players get to go first before they get to go. Mm-hmm. So Tippin, you're up first. What are you going to do?
So these are giant gates, yeah?
These are giant gates. You can obviously fit through them. Like, you can just fly right through it. If anyone's going to be able to leave, it's going to be you. Like, you can
What's behind these gates? Like,
this is like a courtyard. It's like a muddy patch just over here.
Awesome.
It opens into like a nice open courtyard on the other side.
This is a gate?
That's a gate.
So we can theoretically go in here, right?
Theoretically, you
right
could.
Right there. Okay, cool.
I take...
It flies back and forth, undecided.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I tell Chet to give me a shoe.
He
goes, you want my what?
Can I have your shoe? Right now.
Which one, left or right?
Yes, right. Just give it to me. Okay, I fly into the...
This is huge compared...
Yeah, you're like...
Cool. I fly into the gate towards the mud.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say that's your turn. Yeah. All right. So it's going to be these guys. So there's going to be, I'm going to say it's this group first that rushes you guys. They're going to attack Chet is the one that they're mostly going to attack. We're going to see how Chet does.
Yeah, let's see how Chet does.
Yeah. Chet turns out to be a freaking master.
That would be awesome.
Come on, Chet.
That is surprising. Okay, so these three right here, they go clack, clack, and then they start slinging spells, basically. And they're slinging spells, and it's mostly just like darts of force that they're shooting. They're not like shooting any elemental things. Yeah. It's just like they look like fists or like just like balls of energy. They're magic missiles, basically. they're throwing it that way, and so Chet's off to the side, and he just puts his arms up, and like a wall of force goes up in front of him.
Yeah, Chet.
Good job, Chet.
And he's got a bracelet, and like his rings are glowing. Like he's got like three or four rings on. And they're glowing. He's like, how am I doing that? What's going on? So that's what he's doing. That's those three. But he blocks all of them. And...
Chet's a secret superhero.
Secret badass.
Secret badass. Fighting Pelmos. secret badass. Okay. So as they're doing that, one of these guys comes around. He's like, he shoots a spell at Embalar. So Embalar, I want you to roll to defend.
Just all four of them?
All four of them.
What was that one?
Plus two.
It's a fight defense. So it's you're rolling a fight, basically.
Okay.
It's a fight, but instead of using it as a offensive thing, you're using it as a defensive.
Yeah.
Thing.
So okay. So it's just a plane two. It doesn't go off of anything.
No, off of your fight, like whatever you use for fighting.
Oh, which would be fire combat magic.
Yeah, you can use fire combat magic.
Oh, that's a six.
Okay. So what I want you to do is How do you deflect and riposte this, basically, to this guy?
All right, so what was it? What did he send to me? Just like the same thing as so, another magic missile, essentially?
So basically, so like these guys are like shooting stuff at Chet. And as they're shooting stuff at Chet, this guy like pops around the corner and tries to shoot you in the back. Yep.
So what I do is I sense it coming. I have my strike. My strike is a staff. So I sense it coming. And in one smooth motion, I catch it with like the back part of my the staff mm-hmm. of my strike, and then and like you know how like you see people like whip things around their shoulder, mm-hmm. like this. I don't know. I can't do it.
But Embalar can.
But Embalar role playing. So imagine like a badass like flip and it flips over the shoulder and it catches it and then sends it out and like travels through the strike and then goes right back at him like three times stronger.
Oh my gosh!
And
okay.
then it blows him back into the wall.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that completely blows him back into the wall. And it takes him out too. Like he goes, that he like, you knock him back. He hits into the wall. I'm just gonna put a circle there to represent that he is out. And he literally like this is like a wood, like this is like a stone wall right there.
Yeah.
And he hits the wall and like indents into the wall a little bit, and crumples to the ground. So that guy's out.
As that happens, I slam my strike back into the ground. Dun da dun da dun da dun
da 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 da. Oh shit! They just do it. They just do it completely by instinct.
Yeah.
Owen, it's your turn.
Okay. So I'm going to. He took out somebody over here. Is that what Embalar
did?
No.
The O is the one he just took out.
Oh, the O is the one he just took out. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to. Do like a wave, like I have a special thing that I sort of made up / taught myself in school where you do like a wave and it goes up into their faces, so it kind of feels like maybe like waterboarding a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, okay, so like, I love that. Continue.
Shit.
So it like it makes them
wow,
feel
JJ,
like they're, they're drowning and they're really disoriented, but they'll be fine. It's so it just like knocks them completely out of their element,
okay.
So
and
I'll
into
use,
yours.
And yeah, into mine. All right. That is a 2.
A 2?
2.
Okay. He's going to try to defend. Yeah, that absolutely hits. It's not a, like, it knocks him off balance. Which one did you attack?
The closest one to me. Or so let's say this one right here.
Around that corner. Mm-hmm. So basically, do you use your fan?
Yeah.
With it, so you like gather up water and then send it around the corner, basically, as the guy like comes around the corner and it gets in his face and he's completely disoriented, mm-hmm. And so that guy is—he's disoriented, but he's not down. He's not down for the count. That's that. So there's one more dude. It's the same guy. The same guy's gonna try and fight you, but I'm gonna say that he. So I want you to roll a fight. So roll your knife fighting, or whatever you're going to use, either your magic or your knife fighting.
Magic is higher.
Okay.
So that's a 4.
A 4. Oh, goodness. Okay. So I'm going to say this is another riposte. So basically, the water splashes in his face, and he looks disoriented, but he continues to come around the corner. And like goes through the wave and he's sputtering and coughing and, but he's got his strikes out and, you see that they're like glowing and he's not trying to shoot stuff at you. He's actually going to like hit you with them. Mm. How do you turn this around and actually hit him instead?
So I can see him coming for me, right? Mm-hmm. He's disoriented, so I'm going to say I just step out of the way and grab his arm.
Okay.
And then, like, if he's coming at me, yeah, I just step out and grab his arm and then, like...
I'm going to say, if you want to kill him, you can kill him. Like, oh. Yeah, that's...
Okay, I grab his arm and in the same move, like, take his strike from him mm-hmm. and then hit him with it.
Nice. So the move is you're going through, you just sidestep, like you said,
yeah.
And you, like, turn around, take his strike... And you hit him in the back of the skull,
yeah.
And you hear this crack.
Ooh.
As whether he's dead or not, we don't know. But he is out for the count.
You look distraught in like self-defense, don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put X's
that was
on
loud.
Circles and X's. Okay, Embalar, it is your turn.
Alrighty. So what I want to do is fire combat magic. I'm going to be rocking that. I'm going to take my strike and literally strike the ground in front of me across the thing like this. Mm-hmm. And as I do it, I want like a firewall to come up. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if this would be a second action, but I'll kind of like do like that. And fire comes up, covers the entire length of the alley, and then like click it forward, mm-hmm. like swing it forward. So that
to it, move it?
Well, not move the whole thing, but more like spiral out like a tornado down the alleyway.
Nice. So who are you attacking?
Pretty much just like all of these three, but if I had to focus, it'd be the one in the center.
All right, so focus on that attack on the guy in the middle.
Yeah, and if it happens to hit anybody else, that'd be great.
Awesome.
That's a one, but I don't care.
Gonna use that reputation.
Don't roll worse.
Yeah. It's the exact. Oh my god!
Exact same.
You gonna do it again?
No, because then I'd only have one left, and you never know if I might need it.
Okay, so it's a one.
These dice are haunted.
Do you want new dice?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. He does not defend against that. So even though it's a one, you catch, because these three guys are like slinging spells at Chet.
Yeah.
Who's basically now turtling himself. He's like on the ground, having his hands up. And you see that the energy is actually coming out of the rings. Yeah. Like he's just basically shielding himself. And you can notice that the shield is actually beginning to like crack.
Oh no, Chet!
But they're completely working on that. And so you send that fire tornado.
Yeah.
And it takes out this dude. Pretty hardcore. I'm going to say that he's... Yeah. Hold on. Sorry, you got that guy.
Yeah. I forgot you even had the
shoe. I did too.
This plan is formulating. It's going to change a little bit. But
so you like basically the fire goes over his legs and he begins to scream because he then drops to the ground. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty, I'm going to say he's out. He's out of this fight because his legs are basically black stubs at this point because they've been burned so bad.
Whoa.
Don't start shit, man. You took Fennel.
So now screams are being added to the cacophony of what's going on. It's Ezzy. I'm going to say it's Ezzy's turn. Ezzy is basically at the back, and she's not going to do anything, but she's going to continue to direct people. Like, she whistles,
yeah.
And more of them are, like, coming over the rooftops towards you guys. Like running across like chimney sweeps in Mary Poppins.
Oh, I'm about to make him as like covered in soot too.
But she's like taking her hat off and she's taking off her coat and she's like taking out the suspenders and like cracking her knuckles and pulling out her strikes and she's ready to go in, but she's bringing in people.
Yeah.
Yep. So Tippin, it's you.
I'm gonna fill this shoe with mud.
Okay. The shoe is filled with mud.
I'm filling it with mud. I just need the mud closer to me, basically. And I'm placing the shoe on top of here.
Okay.
So, shoe.
I'm not even going to say that you need to roll for that. That's,
He has a skill called shoe placing.
Yes, shoe placing.
Yeah,
Have you ever seen the guys that, like, they balance rocks on top of each other?
Yeah.
Tippin's great at that.
And you are giving him crap for making that a +4.
and then... Where's the closest guy? This guy here?
That guy right there.
Grabbing mud, and I'm going right up to his face and throwing it in his eyes.
All right. So what would that be? I think you're creating an advantage. So I want you to... Is there any skills you think that would apply to?
I mean, I'm trying to not get noticed until I'm throwing the mud in his eyes. Stealth?
It's an athletics. Roll me an athletics.
Okay, that's a 3.
My eyes! My eyes!
Yes!
So you like run over and like throw mud in his face and he wasn't even know. My eyes, I can't see anything!
Nose punch.
Nose punch. Nice. I'm gonna say that he just takes that damage.
The disorienting that nose punch.
Oh!
And I'll go back for more mud.
Alright. So that's your turn. So it's I'm gonna say it's three more of these guys. As they continue to fire at Chet.
Mud in your eyes, step and die.
Chet continues to as he pushes this guy forward after she sees this guy go down, this guy runs forward and joins in, continuing to sling spells down at Chet, who is continuing to put everything up. But as it goes through, he's able to keep his shield up, but it's beginning to crack and fray in places. And I'm going to say that he's being pushed back. So he's moved, into this corner. He's, trying to he's trying to defend himself. Chet's also crying.
Aww.
At this point. Like, he doesn't know what's happening. And he doesn't know what's going on. And so you look over and Chet's like, I don't know what's going on. Stop it. Stop it. And he's got his hand over his head and the shield is up, but it's beginning to fray. And they're sending spells after spell.
Yeah.
In rapid, Dick Grayson Nightwing.
Oh, nice.
Speed.
Good reference.
As they continue to shoot that down that way. And there's another guy. We're going to bring this guy forward. Gonna come right there, and as he comes right there, he is going to try.
Is that the guy I threw mud in his face?
Yes, he's going to. I'm gonna say bring one of these guys forward. Then thank you so much. He's gonna come right there, and I'm gonna say that he is going to. It's easier just to do that. He's gonna attack you, Owen. So you just took down that one guy, and this guy comes around that guy. As that guy goes down, as you crack him in the skull, you turn around. You have a strike now. And you turn around, and another one is coming in with two strikes. Mm-hmm. And he's racing for you to, bring this down and, attack you. Mm-hmm. I want you to roll a fight.
Which would be,
It's either, you're either using magic or you're going to use, or you're going to use your knife fighting.
Right.
Which do you prefer?
Magic, because it's, magic.
Okay.
Oh, God. What is this one? Oh, God. It's a one.
Oh, goodness. Luckily, he rolled a zero, so.
Oh, I win.
So you defend it. I'm going to say that's all you're able to do.
Got it.
So he comes in with his strikes, and you're. How are you defending magically?
Well, so I just pull up a sheet of ice, really quick, freeze it in midair. So like similar to the wave, you just pull it up
and
then it freezes.
Okay,
as it happens.
So he brings it down and it cracks on ice, and he tries a different angle, you bring the ice over that way. Mm-hmm. So it's you bring the ice up and then take the ice and move it that way. Uh-huh. So it's a single call, a single wave, and then you move a wave over that way as well to block there.
Yeah. End of episode. Thanks for listening to Warda. Warda was created by Ali Grauer and Drew Merzieski. The players are Amy Powell as Owen Ballard, Frank Gasparo as Tippin, and Justin Blankenship as Embralar Ardeo. The music for Warda was written by Arnie Parrott. He can be found at atptunes.com. Be sure to subscribe to WelcomeToWarda.com for updates. Follow us on Twitter at WelcomeToWarda and send us your thoughts. We can be reached at WelcomeToWarda@gmail.com. We love hearing comments, questions about the world, and anything else you might come up with. And if you feel like supporting what we do, you can contribute to patreon.com/whimsyartifice. We'd love to have you join us. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.